Today's reading is from Luke 24:13-35. Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing them. He asked them,
"What are you discussing together as you walk along?"
They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him,
"Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?"
"What things?"
"About Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus."
He said to them,
"How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?"
And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly,
"Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over."
So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from them, from their sight. They asked each other,
"Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?"
They got up and returned once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
It's such an honor to be here. I spent about 6-7 years living in Burngreave, just around the corner, and I've known John and Trish for many, many years now. And this church here, the Rock Christian Centre, is such a blessing to our city. You're a church that says yes to prayer. You're a church that says yes to mission. You're a church that says yes to people from every tribe and tongue coming together and gathering around the name of Jesus. So I just want to thank you all so much for just saying yes to being part of this church community, this body here. So thank you. Every single second that is passing right now and every moment that passes while we're alive, we're finding ourselves hurtling towards a final finish point. Because history has an end point, doesn't it? History has an end point, and we are finding ourselves, every single one of us, moving towards that end point at high speed. And that end point is a day when every single knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. And my question for all of us today, my question for you and for you personally to consider, is that when you find yourselves on that day, on your knees, looking at Jesus through squinted eyes, will you be able to echo the voice of those around you? Will you be able to echo the people around you that say, "There's my friend, there's my brother, there's my beloved"? Will you be able to say with your heart tender and aglow, "I know him, I know him"? Because many people, both good and evil, will be able to say they believe the right things about him. the demons will be able to say they believe the right things about him. But will you, with a heart tender and full of love for Jesus, be able to say on that awesome day, I know him. There he is. There's my beloved. There's my friend. I recognize his voice. I have lived my Christian life in such a way that I have cultivated a friendship and a connection with God. I wasn't content with my ticket to heaven by believing the right things. I had to know him. I had to walk with him in such a way in my Christian life that I developed an intimate relationship with him. But before we kneel on that day, there is a walk. And the way we walk that walk depends on what we are able to say on that day. And my prayer for all of us was that would be that we'd be able to walk that walk in such a way that we'd be able to say, we know him. And I want to talk to you about that walk today, because my longing is that we as followers of Jesus would have our hearts burning within us as we walk with Jesus in this life and in this place that he's chosen us to be. So I'm not exactly sure what brought you here to church today. Maybe it was the exciting chance to once again shake hands with John Watts. Maybe you just come, and coming every single week is just something you do. Maybe you come when you can. Maybe you really didn't want to come, but someone said to you, you're coming to church today. But here you are. And all of those are really legitimate reasons to come. We want to see friends. We want to worship. We want the opportunity to sing together. And all of those are really legitimate reasons to come to church. But sometimes I can't help but ask the question. I can't help wondering whether we can sometimes be in danger of being misled. Maybe sometimes we can be in danger of being misled. The great prophet Jeremiah said of God, he said, "Oh God, you misled me and I allowed myself to be misled. You are stronger than I am." Let me explain. I was walking my 3-year-old daughter to nursery the other week, and I thought I knew the purpose of the walk. I thought the purpose of the walk was to leave my house and to get her to nursery, okay? Her name is Ember. That's Ember like the fire, not Amber like the sap, Ember. And I thought I'd get Ember to nursery on time, and then I'd be able to go to my important meetings and I'd get there on time. Now, as I was walking, I noticed that while I was walking in a straight line, Ember was kind of walking in a zigzag fashion. In fact, she was picking up pieces of rubbish from the floor, and like they were unearthed buried treasure, some of the most horrific pieces of rubbish. She was going over to blackberry bushes, but you know it's March, isn't it? And this was in February. She was sort of picking up what remains of a blackberry husk and shoving it into her gums as we were walking along. I quickly realized that things were not going to plan. And being the man of faith that I am, I got very stressed very quickly as I realized my plans were going out of the window. And eventually, I gave in. And I got down on my knees about 15 meters away from Ember. And I said, "Ember, cuddle!" And Ember came running towards me like an inebriated sprinter, barely able to stay up with each foot until she threw herself into my arms. I then went another 15 meters, got down on my knees, and I said, "Ember, cuddle." And here she comes running towards me like a drunken sprinter, barely able to stand up, and she came crushing into my arms for a cuddle. Now, I will let the mathematicians among you work out how many 15-meter cuddles there are in 1.5 miles. But I tell you, it's a lot. And it certainly feels like more the busier the streets around me got. So we did get to nursery eventually. We weren't on time, and I was late for my important meetings. But I did learn an important lesson. You see, I had been misled. I thought that the walk to nursery was about the destination. I thought it was about getting somewhere on time. Whereas for Ember, it was about discovery. It was about wonder. And it was about intimacy. And when I think about my attitude to that walk and Ember's attitude, her attitude reminds me of my early walk with Jesus. And for you, those of you who remember or have maybe gone through times of being refreshed in your faith, will remember times when every cloud is like a love heart that God has put there just for you. Or you find yourself with a highlighter and you're highlighting every single verse of the Bible. You're even highlighting the genealogies. You don't know what you're doing. You're in love. You're in love. Every song on the radio, God's putting there just for you. That's like our early walk with Jesus. And I was reflecting on my attitude and where I'd be misled. And sometimes we can be misled into dutifully going through the motions of this Christian walk. But actually, sometimes we can be in danger of missing the open arms of our beloved along the way. That we dutifully walk towards the destination, but actually we miss Jesus' embrace. We miss the opportunity for intimacy. We miss the opportunity for connection because we're just going through the motions. And one of the things I'm really excited about with Arise is covering every single street in prayer. I want us, as God's people in Sheffield, to say this is a city where God's people pray for every single street of the city. Of course I do. I want us to discover prayer needs and be bold in our faith and discover the prayer needs of the people around us. Of course I do. And I want us to recover the true joy of Easter. And I want to point people towards the good news of the cross. Of course I do. But I'm also aware that Jesus wants our devotion more than he does our duty. Jesus adored Martha, but he really, really loved Mary. He wants our devotion more than he does our duty. And I remember walking down a high street, and I was walking and praying with Jesus, and my heart was aglow. And I remember walking past the supermarket and seeing some purple flowers as I walked past. And as my eyes settled on the flowers, I heard Jesus whisper, "I want you to buy those purple flowers." Obviously, being a man of faith that I am, I completely ignored it and carried on walking. And as I carried on walking, the whisper came again. And when I say whisper, it was like a thought that I wasn't expecting to have. And as I carried on walking, it came again. And so, feeling a bit silly, I went back, picked up these purple flowers, and I went into the supermarket to buy them. And as I stepped into the supermarket, I suddenly had a sense of who they were for. Now, I'll tell you what happened next in a moment, but first, let's talk about another walk, the walk we were talking about earlier that we heard today. Two men on the road to Emmaus, they're feeling disappointed. Everything they thought Jesus was and could be, from where they're standing, isn't the case. Their hopes have been dashed. And maybe some of us on our Christian walk can relate to this. Something we expected to happen didn't happen. A promise we thought was made was broken. And suddenly this man draws alongside them and starts walking with them. And he listens to them. He hears their worries. He challenges them. And he says, "What are you talking about?" And they say, "Has your head been in the sand? Haven't you heard? Don't you know what's happened?" And he continues walking, challenging, talking with them. And then at the end of their walk, and I imagine, if you can think about this, I imagine as they were walking, something was happening deep inside of them. Something in them was resonating with something in this person who was walking alongside them. In a way they probably couldn't even articulate, a way they couldn't explain. Something was happening as they were walking with this man. and they get to the end of the walk. Eventually, after a bit of back and forth, they get him into their house, and he breaks bread. And the second he breaks bread, they recognize him for who he is. They see him for who he is, just like we will one day with unveiled faces see him for who he is. They see him for who he is. And in that moment, he disappears. And they look at each other, and they're just trying to make sense of everything that's happened. And they say, did not our hearts burn within us as we walked with him along the road? Did not our hearts burn within us? And there's something about that intimate connection with Jesus, the fact that he listened and challenged, and they were open to both, took their worries and cares and challenged their thinking. There was something about that that refired them for the mission. They went straight back to Jerusalem to join the mission. They were just about to go to bed. They went straight back to Jerusalem to join the mission because there was something about that burning heart. And before we change our city, before we change our streets, before we change our workplace, before we change our area, I want us to get excited about simply walking with Jesus with our heart aglow. I want us to be excited and a little bit nervous about what can happen when we step outside of the house and we say, Jesus, I'm just going to walk with you. I'm going to cut out the stimulation and I'm just going to walk with you. Because that's the point that we can begin seeing our city through his eyes. That's the point that we can start seeing the needs of our area through his eyes. When we simply walk with Jesus as we would a friend. Let's not get so excited about the end point that we miss the open arms. We miss that opportunity to just simply connect and be loved and love him back. Because the truth is that no tradition, no denomination, and no church leader can make your heart burn within you. Amen. Only Jesus can do that. Amen. Traditions, denominations, they're gifts, they're amazing. They can give us a map to get there. But if we're not careful, we will dutifully follow the route on the map and we will miss his open arms along the way. And let's be people that determine to cultivate a walk with Jesus where our hearts can burn within us. Because I think so often it's really easy for us to use Jesus as a bridge. We use Jesus as a bridge to a better job. We use Jesus as a bridge to a better ministry. We can use Jesus as the way to get to better relationships or the way to get more knowledge of Scripture. It's so easy to use Jesus as a bridge. But he's not a bridge. He is the all in all. He is the beginning and the end. He fills all things everywhere with himself. Jesus isn't a way to get something else. He is the way. And so often we can put the cart before the horse, can't we? And we can forget why it is we're doing the things we're doing. We start trying to earn Jesus' points, or we start trying to earn our own righteousness, forgetting that the way has been paid and we're being invited on a walk of connection, a walk of intimacy. So often it's so easy to fill our minds with the things of Christian subculture that we forget what all of that is pointing to in the first place. And I wonder what will happen when you go on that walk with Jesus, when you actually are vulnerable enough to say, Jesus, I'm just going to walk with you right now. Maybe it will be like the walk on the road to Emmaus, and he will create a glowing heart that strips away cynicism and despair and despondency. Maybe that's what you need. Or maybe it'll be like when St. Peter, after having a breakfast on the beach, walked with Jesus in John 21. And Jesus reminded him again and again, Peter, you're forgiven. Peter, you're forgiven. Peter, you're forgiven. I'm not sure about you, but when I walk with Jesus, when I create that space to just connect with him, I find that he strips away the inner poisons. So often, time away from God, time away from his presence, time away from devotion to him, it builds up an inner cynicism, an inner poison that only Jesus can take from us. And we end up feeling a lot more the person we were created to be when we have had that time. So yes, I want us to offer prayer to people that we pass. Yes, I want us to see every single street covered in prayer. And yes, I want us as the people of God to discover the prayer needs of people around us that don't know him yet. Of course I do. But I want us to do this with our hearts aflame, because we've learned to walk with Jesus as one would a friend. Because I tell you what the world's longing for. The world is longing to hear the name of Jesus spoken from the lips of those who truly love him. Amen. That's what sets people alight. They don't want the next three-step formula. They don't want to feel like they're part of some sort of multi-level marketing plan. What they want is they want relationship and connection with God. They want reconciliation with God. One died for all, therefore all died. And as followers of him, we get to be reconcilers. But let's know the Father, let's know the Son, and let's know the Spirit that we're seeking to reconcile people to. Let's not, because of our own fear of being exposed, not walk with Jesus as one would a friend. Sometimes we can get distracted by mission. Sometimes we can get distracted by the idea of unity or his kingdom come, that we miss those beautiful open arms. So what are we going to do this March? What's our hope that will happen this month? Well, first, we want to step. We want to step out of our houses. We want to walk with Jesus as one would walk with a friend. And as we do that, as we're prayer walking, it's so much easier for God to move us when we're already moving. I'm sure you've experienced that, then actually sometimes you've stepped out in your life and you've taken a risk or you've started moving and it's been much easier for God to direct you. It's a lot harder for the Holy Spirit to guide us when we're sitting down with our arms crossed, refusing to move. So as you prayer walk, be open to God moving you, to the Holy Spirit directing you and moving you, and you seeing the city and seeing the needs of the city through his eyes. And we're going to seek. So we're going to step and we're going to seek. We're going to seek the prayer needs of people around us. Now, you'll remember my story. I just walked into the supermarket and I had the flowers in my hand. What color were the flowers? Purple. I had the purple flowers in my hand. And as I stepped in, feeling a bit silly, I looked over and I saw a lady at the checkout counter. And I knew they were for her. So I walked over, picked up some cookies on the way. I'm not a monk, they were for me. Picked up some cookies on the way and went over to the lady at the counter. Brought the cookies, they were for me. Brought the flowers, and then she gave me the flowers and I said, actually, these flowers are for you. I didn't know what else to say, and I felt that they were for her. She took the flowers and her eyes started welling up with tears. And what emerged was that lady was separated. She had a broken relationship with her daughter. She hadn't seen her daughter for years. Those flowers were her daughter's favorite flowers. And that day was Mother's Day. And I was able to talk to this woman about a God who brings prodigals home. And we were able to pray about a God who brings reconciliation. And maybe as I'm talking today, you're aware that actually for you, there's some reconciliation that needs to go on. Or maybe it's reconciliation between you and Jesus. Maybe you've walked past him one too many times while living out your Christian duty. And this month, we're going to discover the prayer needs of those around us. And so there's an amazing app that we're going to use as a community. And again, it's not about the app. The app becomes a celebration of God's people with hearts aglow, walking across the city. And we're going to have the opportunity to offer and discover prayer for people around us. Now, it won't always be that dramatic from that story that I've shared. It can actually be really, really simple. So I just want us to practice something together. I think we're going to have some words up on here. But when I offer prayer to people, it's very simple to say something like, I like to pray. Is there something I can pray for you about? I like to pray. Is there something I can pray for you about? So just turn to the person next to you, and we're just going to practice that. Just say, I like to pray. Is there something I can pray for you about? Was that hard question? Was that hard to ask? No? So whenever I go for a meal, and John will know this, whenever I go for a coffee, whenever and a waiter or waitress comes over, I say, I like to pray. Is there something I can pray for you about? Or if it's lunch, I'm in a cafe or a restaurant, I'll say, before I eat, I like to pray. Is there something I can pray for you about? Really simple. Again, as followers of Jesus, living our lives with integrity is as simple as just letting people know what's going on around us. We don't need to say something like, this might be random, but... Because actually, I would suggest that there's nothing less random than a Christian praying. The correlation on a graph between Christian and someone who prays should be a direct one-to-one. It's not random at all. We actually are just a people that like to pray. And when you ask that question, it's deeply subversive to our current culture, because what you're saying is, I know the one I can pray to. You're saying that I believe he can answer prayer and that you can know him. It's a deeply subversive question to our culture, just to offer someone prayer. And actually what you'll find is time and time again, people love being asked. Sometimes it takes them a moment to think and they'll say, oh, I'm not sure. And then I say something like, well, if God could do something in your life this week, what would it be? And we've had amazing experiences of being able to offer healing prayer and seeing waiters and waitresses get healed. We've had people standing at a table with us. John and I had a particular one about a year and a half ago where a man said, actually, me and my wife are really struggling to conceive a child. He didn't say it straight away. It was when I said, if God could do a miracle in your life, what would it be? Because initially, you know, he said, I want to win the lottery. And I said, seriously, if God wanted to do a miracle in your life, what would it be? And he said, me and my wife are really struggling to conceive a child. And can you pray? So we did. We prayed for him. And about a year and a half later, I bumped into the same waiter in another cafe in Sheffield. And I said, hey, you probably can't remember me, but we prayed for you about 18 months ago. I remember it. What happened? He said, I've got a beautiful son. And they've called him like the Hebrew name for miracle. And he said, I always remember that miracle prayer. And I was again able to talk to him about the God who answers prayers. Now, it might not always happen that way, okay? All of us have prayed for things like that and they haven't happened. And Jesus is more than able to hold that tension in his scarred hands. But our role isn't to answer that person's prayer. It's simply to speak to the one who we know can. Amen. So let's remember what our responsibility is and what his responsibility is, okay? Because even unanswered prayer can be an opportunity for someone to have an engaging conversation with God. So we're going to seek prayer needs. Who would be up for just saying, yeah, I can ask someone that question this month. I like to pray. Is there anything I can pray for you about? Hands up if you can ask someone that question this month. I like to pray. Is there something I can pray for you about? Well, let's encourage each other in our small groups, okay? We're a community. Let's encourage each other, because it's very easy to say here. Slightly harder to say at the school gate or at work. So let's just be real about that and encourage each other. So we're going to step, we're going to seek, and this month we're going to scout. So we're inviting people to join group prayer walks around the city. I know that you're all going to be involved in the final prayer walk towards the cross in the city centre, which is really exciting. But we're also encouraging people to pray in a different area of Sheffield. So maybe you'd want to go to Manor, where they've experienced, they've set up a Christian gym there. And there's some really exciting stories of these two Christian bodybuilders that have started a gym. And they're seeing people join the gym community and come to faith. It's called the Station Gym. And a number of people came across them on a prayer walk. And now they're actually running an alpha course out of that gym. So maybe you want to join a prayer walk at the Manor. Obviously, looking around here, no one here needs the gym. You're all very, very fit. But maybe you just want to go and pray there. Maybe you just want to go and pray. There's also going to be a prayer walk here in Burngreave. As many of you know, we lost a dear friend of ours, Chris Marriott. He was living his normal Christian life. He was following Jesus, and he moved towards pain, and he died. He was killed. And maybe you'd want to join a redemptive prayer walk in that area, that actually we as the people of God say, this isn't the final word here. This isn't the final word. Actually, we're going to bless those who persecute us, and we're going to walk, and we're going to bless this land, because this isn't the final word. And then we're going to share the good news of Easter this month. We're going to share the good news. And we're going to, there'll be Easter eggs that we can give out. And I know that's something that you'll have here. So it's an Easter egg with a story of the Easter story in it. And we've already had examples of someone giving them out with an invitation to their church. And someone came to their church the next day with the leaflet in it with the Easter story and said, I need to know more about this story. And it's now a year later, that man's still part of that church, he's been baptized, and he's following Jesus as part of that church community. But it's not about the egg. The eggs aren't magic, they're delicious, they're not magic. And it's actually about the connection and the relationship, okay? Someone else was giving them to their neighbors year after year, just the five neighbors on either side, giving them out. And at third year, someone said, you've got to tell me what's all this about, what's happening? And he said, well, come to church to find out. That person, that woman and her husband have now committed their lives to following Jesus, and they're part of that Christian community. Why? Because people are desperate for invitation. They're desperate for invitation. They want to be part of that community. So this month, let's do all of those things, but let's do them with our heart aflame for Jesus. Let's do them with our heart aflame for Jesus. So that on that day, when we're kneeling before him, through squinted eyes, every single person here will be able to say, I know him. I know him. There's my friend. There's my beloved. There's my Savior. The one who created us before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. I know him. I know him. If you're able to, please stand, and I'd love to pray. If you're comfortable, just put your hand on your heart. And maybe it's as we're praying for you, it's maybe a sorry. Maybe you've recognized that you've been putting distance between yourself and God, that it's easier to do the deeds rather than connect with him personally. So, Jesus, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you. And Father, we just want to ask for the faith to love your Son. We receive faith as a gift. And Father, we just want to ask that you would give us the grace to walk with your Son on this earth, that we will be able to say we know him. Let us be children of the living God that aren't afraid of connection with him. We want to know Jesus and the power that raised him from the dead. We want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. So I want to ask, God, that you would just strip away anything in us that puts a barrier between us and Jesus. Where we've been hiding behind works, I want to ask that you lift our eyes up again to the wonder of who he is. That yes, we'll be people of works, but it will come out of wonder. You don't want more employees, God. You want lovers. So teach us to love your Son so well. Yeah, we say yes. So just in this time, just whatever that prayer would look like for you, just speak to him. Just tell him what you need. Say sorry where you need to say sorry. Jesus, we're so sorry where we've got distracted by duty, that we've forgot devotion. We're sorry where we've got caught up in what we can get from you rather than who you are. And we just ask this March that we would walk with you as one would a friend. We would walk with you as one would a friend. Amen. Amen.